I know a lot of us have been feeling under the weather lately. It's that time of year. And according to a study done by the University of Arizona, they discovered that your keyboards have hundreds of times more bacteria per square inch than a toilet seat.
I heard your mama has more bacteria per square inch than a toilet seat.
That's true. That's true. I dated her mama. And you know what?
Sorry.
One of the simplest ways to cut down on the spread of germs is to use something called the vampire cough.
Did you say vampire?
Oh, no. It's just that if a vampire had to cough, he would do it like this.
Uh-huh, right. And ruin their cloaks. Do you have any idea how expensive wool is in Transylvania? Because of the euro.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
We are back, NYG Weekly. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash the subscribe button. Unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We are back. The world is falling apart. Free agency, though, bringing us back to life. Weiss, it has been more than a minute. It's been a few minutes. We have not spoken. We have not recorded in a while. I'm shocked I got through that intro in one take. How is the world treating you?
Not good.
Not
I was supposed
good.
To be. I was supposed to be sitting down right now watching the NCAA tournament.
Dude, I was supposed to be in AC at a casino right now watching the NCAA tournament.
I had taken off these 2 days from work, and I was just going to be sitting and watching the NCAA tournament Thursday, Friday, my favorite 2 days of the year, which is games nonstop. But instead, there are no sports, and I hate the coronavirus, and I will never, ever forgive this virus for what it has caused me. But in reality, I understood why everything is the way it is right now. It's a very serious situation. And the only thing we can do is just stay home and stay away from people, really.
That's Stay the fuck home. Practice social distancing.
Yep.
We don't need to tell you guys because Dr. Fauci has told you a million times. Just stay home. Just do it. The sooner that this is over, the sooner we can all go out and enjoy the rest of our lives, the sooner sports will come back, and the sooner we can get back to some normalcy. So just stay home. In terms of sports news, the entire Nets team has it, and Sean Payton, first NFL personnel to confirm that he has it. But he's almost better, apparently. He got it. He said he's tested positive. Like, we're recording, what is this, Thursday, late afternoon, early evening. He said he got it, like, he tested positive 5 days ago.
Right.
But he also apparently started not feeling well. He was at Oak Lawn, which is a horse racing track. So horse racing has been the savior of the degenerate the last 2 weeks because with all the major sports that have been canceled, horse racing for the most part has been business as usual. So if horse racing decides to shut down over the next week or so, we can all thank Sean Payton and his coronavirus positive for shutting that down.
Yeah, I think the more we hear about like these popular figures, whether it's Kevin Durant or Sean Payton, the more we hear about them testing positive, the more I guess people take it serious. But I think that it shouldn't be that. I think people need to realize.
I disagree with you. I actually think it's the opposite because people – and it makes no sense. I think people point to, Kevin Durant's fine. Oh, Donovan Mitchell's fine. Like, yeah, you're talking about athletes in their prime, professional athletes, the 1% of the 1% of the 1% in terms of physical conditioning. Like, of course these people are going to be fine. What people should be looking to are the sick and the elderly and the people in Italy who are dying left and right. Because it's only going to get worse and the positives are only going to increase as testing becomes more prominent. So That's
I was talking more in regards like people are saying, oh snap, like I'm seeing people that, you know, typically people look at famous people, think they're immune to a lot of things.
Yeah.
But this virus, I mean, it doesn't pick size. It doesn't pick politics. It doesn't pick who your favorite sports team is. It doesn't care if you're male or female. But I just hope that people can just self-quarantine over the course of the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, however long this thing works out, and then we can just get back to normal. But who knows, man? It is very depressing right now, but
yeah,
just got to do what you got to do.
So I'll tangent for a little bit. So I emergency ordered a Nintendo Switch because I've not owned like a console in a very long time. I was a huge Xbox 360 guy. Had it. Maybe it was middle school. I had it all through middle school, all through high school. Played the shit out of it. Was a huge Call of Duty player. And, you know, just over the years, you sort of fall off and, you know, life responsibilities, real work, real job, girlfriend, etc. You sort of fall off a little bit. So I haven't owned or played a console in a very, very long time. Got the last Prime shipping Nintendo Switch that was left on Amazon. It got here yesterday. It's sitting next to me. Love the thing so far. You guys have been pretty helpful. You guys have given me a bunch of different game suggestions. But just keep this in mind. As someone who, you know, I had a Game Boy Color growing up. I had a GameCube before I turned into a Microsoft Xbox guy. Any sort of, like, good first-person shooters outside of Fortnite, which I've been playing, throw any of these suggestions my way. I'm going to get a Mario game. Haven't decided on which one. It's probably going to be Mario Odyssey, which I heard is like a very good intro game for Switch owners. Obviously going to get Smash, probably going to get a Super Mario Bros. Deluxe or Mario Maker because I loved Super Mario Deluxe on my Game Boy Color growing up. But any suggestions, DM them to me because the list is overwhelming right now. What are you doing to keep yourself busy outside of work from home?
Right. So I am working from home, but for the most part, so right after the Super Bowl ended, we had a Super Bowl party at my house.
Me too.
My wife stood up.
Oh my God. Like, I got a story for you, by the way, about the Super Bowl. Remind me after. Yeah.
I'm so happy. She stood up. She's like, I'm so happy the Super Bowl's over now. I was rooting for the Chiefs, so I was really happy. And obviously the football ended. She was happy about that. She's not a sports fan. But over the course of the weeks following, I told her, hey, this is my sports schedule for until next football season. I told her, I said, beginning of March, there's March Madness. Yeah. And then following March Madness, there's the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and baseball starts. And I told her, then in the summer, in June, we got the Euro Cup and Copa America. So it's really like a summer of soccer. And then I told her, once that is over, we get July. And typically July, I like to take a vacation, come back for August where football starts to ramp up. Well, a lot of that's sort of been canceled. I mean, the Euro Cup is canceled. March Madness obviously canceled. We don't know when the NBA is going to come back. We don't know when baseball is going to start. So basically what I've been doing is I've been playing a lot of FIFA.
There you go.
And I wish, you know, because we're all like craving March Madness. We're craving that enjoyment. But because there is no March Madness, I was hoping that there was a college basketball game. But obviously there is no college sports video games out there where we can just go buy and just sort of consume our time with that.
Yep.
So I've been doing a lot of FIFA. Other than that, I mean, I watch 30 for 30s. I know the NBA recently made its league pass free. Mm-hmm. You can watch previous year games. NFL Game Pass is now free, so I haven't really touched that.
Same with NHL, baby.
Honestly, I really don't know how I'm getting through the day. I mean, my life is consumed by sports. I mean,
can say the same, yeah. Unfortunately.
It is consumed by sports. Now, I must say, NFL free agency has helped a lot.
Yes.
Since
especially because it's been crazy.
Yes. It's not been like, you know, just a bunch of like slow stuff. No. We obviously have the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which is insane to start it off.
Yep.
Then we had Tom Brady saying he's not coming back to the Patriots. Then throughout the day, everyone's like, where's Brady going to go? Where's Brady going to go? Then he says, I'm going to Tampa Bay. So it's sort of been a day-by-day type thing. Today has been sort of quiet until we heard the news of Todd Gurley.
Yep.
I don't know what other splashes are out there. We'll see. But free agency has helped a lot. With that said, when that dies down and we sort of get into the end of the month, the next couple of weeks, and into April – I honestly can't even begin to tell you what I'm going to do. I've watched a good documentary. If you guys are like me craving March Madness, like I love March Madness. Yeah. Like I love college basketball. I've said it like, you know, I've talked about this whole podcast since we started, but there's a great documentary on the UNLV Running Rebels. Awesome documentary. Talks about their rise. Talks about how.
Where can people watch special, that?
It's on HBO, so okay. I don't know if you guys have HBO or not, but you can get that on the HBO Go. I watched it. Great. It's a 1-hour documentary. Really good. I think it was made in like 2013 or 14, but it's awesome. Great documentary. Talks about those great UNLV teams. I rewatched the Fab Five documentary with, you know, obviously the Michigan team. Awesome 30 for 30. But that's just, I'm just trying to.
Since we're on the documentary tangent, I on HBO, I also just finished McMillions, which is very good. If anyone needs like something to break up over two nights, 6 episodes, about 50, 55 minutes each episode. It goes insanely fast. And it's about the McDonald's monopoly scheme in the, I think it was the 90s, 80s, 90s, whenever it was. Very, very good.
Yeah, and another HBO documentary I recommend for people is Chernobyl.
Yeah, that was good. I watched that last year, I think, but very
it's good. Good little miniseries I watched. It's pretty good, pretty well done. But if you're someone that gets scared and relate real life to documentary or to TV, I would not recommend that one just because there's some – you can sort of connect – what's going on in the real world to what happened.
Yes.
Sort of. I mean, you know, people think crazy thoughts, but that's a good one. But other than that, I mean, like I said, man, I'm just, it's day by day. I'm depressed. And
yep.
That's it for me, man.
Let me tell my, my Super Bowl story real quick before we get into everything free agency. So, I guess I'm trying to think back now. So this is the Friday before the Super Bowl. I'm sitting at work, and my coworker and I, we get a text from our boss. And he's like, guys, I have some inside information. I'm going to FaceTime you in a minute. I go, okay. He FaceTimes us. He's in the middle of his haircut. His barber has a best friend who is at the Super Bowl venue listening to Demi Lovato's practice runs for the national anthem. Timed all 3 practice runs and sent us the times. All under what Vegas had set as the over-under total for the national anthem. I go, I log on to my guy's website, and I take every single under and alternative under imaginable to the max. I maxed it out. There was 121 and a half, 119 and a half, all the way down to 115 and a half, juiced to plus 285. Okay? Maxed all of them. The anthem comes around on Super Bowl evening. I'm hosting. I got all my friends around me. I gave them some action on it too. Share the love, whatever. The anthem goes off. Under. It's not even close. I'm celebrating. I log on to check to see how much I had won. My guy deleted every single one of my bets before the anthem went off. And wow. For those who think that this is a fraudulent story, there are witnesses. And to top it all off, I have screenshot proof. And he scummed me out of, I can't even say the total amount because it'll make me sick. It might make some of you sick. He scummed me out of so much money. Thankfully honored the other total amount that I was up that week. And I basically told him, you can go fuck yourself. Close the account once you pay me out. I'm done with you. but I had the inside scoop, put down a hell of a lot of money on it, won, and got scummed out of it. That's my Super Bowl story, since it has been a while since we've done a show.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That is...
zero integrity.
Yes.
Zero integrity. Anyway, that's my Super Bowl story, and a cautionary tale of why, when you're placing large amounts on prop bets, you should use a legitimate operation.
Yes.
Yes.
I will say this. For me, it's been a depressing year because of the death of Kobe Bryant, which seems like it was so long ago, given everything going on. So it's 2020 has sucked for me. It's just been a horrible year. But that story, man, I don't know how I would have reacted. I think I would have reacted in a more physical way. But that's just me being a hothead at times that I am. Well, the average, isn't the average cost of a coronavirus test kit like $1,800, like $2,000? Isn't something like that? I think I saw something.
That I don't know.
Well, basically where I'm going with is, let's say a test kit costs you $2,000. Did you lose over $2,000 or did you lose under $2,000?
Oh, for my purposes?
Yeah.
Oh, I lost. So the thing is, I didn't lose. Right, so it didn't count as a loser. I just didn't win. So I did not win. Yes, over the cost of a test kit.
Oh my god.
Yeah. some might say it's more than two test kits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Keep in mind, I had to put less than two test kits because most of the bets that I got down were plus money, but I still lost out on winning. Yeah, multiple test kits. So let's hope I don't come down with coronavirus, because I know who to blame now.
Yeah. Jeez.
What a week that was.
The New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants. Yes. This is what you're here to listen to, not my gambling woes or about our take on the coronavirus.
Stories.
Yeah. Where to start? Well,
so,
I know where I want to start.
Okay.
So this is what I'll say. When it comes to the Giants, and you know, we've been doing this show for many years and we've had listeners for many years, and these listeners know that we are not the biggest fans of David Gettleman and John Mara. The biggest disappointment to me, you know, you look at some of the players that they brought in. Some are decent, some lateral moves. Basically used up almost all of their cap space, and you can't really say that they necessarily improved that much, if at all, really. What pains me the most is looking around the league at other teams who hit the reset button when the Giants should have, and what they're doing to make their teams competitive this year. Now, the same can't be said for the Jets, the crosstown rival, because they just fucked up immensely, and they're going into year three of Darnold, haven't improved at all, don't really have an offensive line, but luckily for them, they have two extra first round. God, that would be awful. Thanks to Dave, they have an extra two draft picks that they can use this year to help their rebuild, but whatever. Given that we're in year two of Saquon, going into year three of Saquon, going into year two of Dan Jones, just spent, over $65, $70 million of the cap space, didn't improve, and then also just gave away two draft picks to franchise tag a player that's going to demand $16, $17 million a year annually. The team, yet again, is directionless. You're either accepting it's a rebuild, loading up on as many draft picks as possible and building through the draft, or you've already done that and now you're going to take your $80, $100 million in cap space and throw it at some banging free agents to solidify these holes on your roster like the Dolphins just did. So to me, go ahead, spend your money. None of these contracts that have been given out are albatrosses by any use of the word, you know, as compared to some past deals Dave Gettleman has given out. But at the end of the day, it's just apathy. That's the best word I can use to describe how I feel about this team and the state of the team is apathy. They didn't improve. They're probably not going to trade back, both because of the Lions' leverage and Dave Gettleman's inability to identify any semblance of value. And you know what? They're going to end up with a great player at fourth overall, but it's not enough. And, you know, this is the year where if it wasn't 2008, it's this year. Trade back, get picks, not give away picks for Leonard Williams. That's where the frustration stems from. They're still directionless. Year three of Dave Gettleman, they still don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think you've sort of nailed my thoughts completely. If the Giants had taken the rebuild approach back when you and I thought that they should have, they probably, and they for the most part, followed that path and sort of, you know, loaded up on draft capital and got young talent and got the young quarterback. They probably would have been in a much better position. Yeah, or traded back. If they didn't take that, if Dave Gettleman didn't come in and sort of try to retool around Eli Manning one last time and he actually embraced the rebuild back then, maybe the Giants are where the Buffalo Bills are right now. Maybe the Giants are where, and I hate to bring up this team, where the Houston Texans, you know, right, were, but don't seem to be anymore because of their, you know, issues that they have. Point is that if you are taking the rebuilding approach and you're gonna say I'm building through the draft and I'm going to assemble as many resources as I can and allocate as many resources as I can and collect as many draft picks as I can so I can draft young players, you don't trade a third and a fifth for a player who's going to be a free agent.
Right.
You just don't do that. And I know people will say, well, I like Leonard Williams as a player coming in the draft. And I'll admit I was wrong about the trade. But if you go back and listen to the podcast that we made after this trade went down, my whole premise was, listen, the trade, do they give up a lot? Yes. I like the player. I don't mind it if they're able to sign him to an extension. Now, clearly I wasn't thinking straight because why the hell would Leonard Williams sign a contract extension when he's on the cusp of free agency? Even if the Giants were to offer him $20 million. Well, let's see if I can get a team that can offer me $20 million and a penny. You know?
Yeah.
So it did Leonard Williams no harm not to go and test the free agent market. It was almost, it almost be him shortchanging himself, really. But the Leonard Williams trade really makes it complicated because it makes you wonder, well, what's really the plan? Because if they had collected draft picks and they had tried to, you know, not trade away draft picks like they did in recent years, then the signings that they made, we would have been like, okay, I understand what they're doing.
Right.
Front loading these contracts. It's a rebuilding team. These contracts are not going to harm you in the future. I mean, you know, Blake Martinez's contract is essentially a 2-year deal. There's no dead cap hit on the third year. If they were doing that, then I would say, okay, I understand where we're going. So it's not necessarily about these moves or which one of these players I don't like. It's about the overall direction, like you said.
Exactly.
And my next point is you have $70 million in cap space. And that's great. You know, it's awesome to have people. A lot of the Dave Gettleman supporters are beating that drum all season long about why
that's the problem.
He deserves to come back, and you know he has all this cap space. You got him to use it. Well, okay, we let him use it. But here's the problem: they still have issues along the offensive line, and they still cannot rush the passer.
Well, this goes back to your tweet. They had how much money? You know this number probably right off the top of your head. How much have they spent so far?
They have spent, I believe, they had $75 million in cap space. They have used about $65 million. I would say they have around $10 million left of salary cap space, and that's not taking into account the rookies and all that. Yeah. My point is that
they haven't improved their two biggest areas of need.
Exactly. If you don't like the pass rusher, that's fine. That's fine. I know Jadeveon Clowney has, you know, injury issues. I don't know if you want to throw the bank at him. I totally agree with that.
Then that's fine.
You know, Yannick Ngakoue, obviously you don't want to trade
from. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. He went to Maryland, so I know how to pronounce his
name.
I'm not good with names, but I'm good with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to trade for him. Obviously, the Jaguars' asking price is a lot. I get it. Dante Fowler got a lot of money. You don't want to allocate that money to the guys that were paid. But here's the thing, Ethan. What draft picks have they allocated to pass rushers? 2 third-round picks. Now look at those 2 draft picks that you've allocated to the pass rush versus everything you've allocated to the interior of the defensive line.
Right.
Offensive line, you don't want to pay for Jake Conklin. People say it's overpaid. I don't think that's overpaid.
Nope.
People were talking about Conklin getting $16, $17 million per year.
Dude, even on top of that, the Bulaga deal.
Yes. Brian Bulaga, he's making the same amount of money as Eric Flowers is making.
Yeah.
Years, $30 million. And so you don't want to draft offensive linemen. Fine, you know, even though we're carrying this building through the draft approach, you don't want to build through the offensive line, but you don't want to pay for them either. So it's like they're not going to just show up at your doorstep and say, hey, I'm playing for you guys now. So it's this not valuing positions that are very important that has me wondering, what the hell are we doing?
Right.
You know, I've always been concerned about the direction of this franchise. I'm even more concerned now. I didn't think it was possible, but I am more concerned now because it just seems as though when you have a general manager that doesn't understand the positional value in the league, you know, you're sort of going to be directionless. I mean, offensive line, I know you gave that contract to Nate Solder, but that shouldn't stop you from signing another offensive lineman. That doesn't mean you don't draft another offensive lineman. You still need a right tackle, and they signed one yesterday, but it's not enough. They haven't allocated enough resources to the offensive line, to the pass rush, and that's why this team, to me, has not improved enough as they should have. So
here's another aspect of it that I think a lot of people use the opposite way I'm about to use it. People are also like, oh, well, you know, these free agents have to want to come here. Well, why don't they want to come here?
Let's ask that question.
You're talking about New York City, the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Fuck, like, these tax havens, right? I understand that Nevada and Florida have, you know, very favorable tax laws to athletes, but teams have been dealing with that for years, for forever. Look at, like, the people that the Giants brought in. Kyler Fackrell. Why did they bring him in? Because Patrick Graham has familiarity with him, and he had a really, really good season 2 years ago under Patrick Graham as the linebackers coach. So, you know what? Fuck it. Let me sign a 1-year deal. Let me try to rework that magic and then get paid. It's the same thing that Marcus Golden did. Let me sign this contract with a defensive coordinator that I'm familiar with. Let me try my best to put up numbers and then probably leave after that. The only reason these players are coming here, right? Blake Martinez, Patrick Graham, familiarity. Kyler Fackrell, Patrick Graham, familiarity. James Bradbury, drafted by Dave Gettleman. Here's a lot of money. You don't have these players who are saying, oh, Joe Judge, special teams coach, Bill Belichick? Yeah, that's who I want to play for. Dave Gettleman, who every former player seems to hate? Yeah, that's a guy that I want to play for. You don't hear that.
No.
Why don't they want to come here? Yeah. Because you have a quarterback going into his second year who showed promise, still a question mark, a first-time head coach, a GM who's despised by most of his former players. A directionless franchise.
And I also don't think it's that players don't want to come here. I'm not buying that. I think if you're willing to spend, players will want to come here. But I don't think that's the case. I think the problem is that, like, we're so stuck on familiarity. Oh, this guy played under this guy, or this guy was drafted by that guy. I don't think that a prerequisite should not be, I drafted that guy, you know, I need to sign him, regardless if the player is a good player or not. I don't think familiarity should be a sort of give an edge to a player. If a player is a good player, you know, this shouldn't matter if he played for you or not. But I wanted to go back to, in terms of allocating of resources, and this is my big issue right now, and this is why I'm so confused as to what's the state of the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. in the 3 years Dave Gettleman has been here, right, when he stepped foot and became the general manager of the Giants had Damon Snacks Harrison under contract, and they had Dalvin Tomlinson, who I believe was going into his second year. So they had their two interior defensive linemen installed. Since then, there's been a 2018 third-round pick, which was a top 75 pick, spent on B.J. Hill. There was a 2018 fifth-round pick that was spent on R.J. McIntosh. There was a 2019 first-round pick that was spent on Dexter Lawrence, a 2019 seventh-round pick that was spent on Chris Lane, I believe the guy from Syracuse, and then the Leonard Williams trade, the third-round pick, the 2021 fifth-round pick that's probably going to be a fourth-round pick whenever the extension is signed, and now you have $16.1 million of a franchise tag. So all that to the interior of your defensive line. That's not a good management of resources.
But we
know that
this guy doesn't understand how to build a team in 2020.
Right. So now when you look at it, it's like, okay, you're making these moves because you're claiming to rebuild. But what about the offensive line? What about the edge rushers? Like this is where I'm confused. How come there's not enough allocation of resources to that? And you can't just say, well, we got the number four pick in the draft. The number four pick in the draft is going to bring you one player. They have two picks. They have two picks in the top 75 this year. Just two.
Compared Which is to terrible last year. For a rebuilding team. Look at what the Dolphins have.
Yeah. And the comp pick is at the end of the third round. So the two picks in the top 75, go look at teams like Jacksonville. Go look at teams like Miami. They have, you know, even New England, Baltimore, these teams that already found their quarterback, they have picks. They have a plethora of picks in the top 100. And I use top 100, top 75 is because in the top 100 and the top 75, I believe you can find day one starters.
Yes.
Now, you might luck in and find guys in the fifth round that you can plug in a Darius Slayton or all that, but that usually doesn't happen every year. You know, so your top three picks are always guys that you can count on to start day one. And the Giants only have two of those. And if they use their number four pick on an offensive tackle, you already know. You know, offensive tackles, rookie year, they struggle. That's usually the case. You know, and then you go to pick 35, 36 that they have in that second round. Well, if they address, you know, the edge rusher spot or a linebacker or whoever, you can't just expect these guys to not struggle early on. So there's definitely not been enough money spent on the offensive line. There's not been enough resources given to edge rushers. And that's a problem with this team right now. The holes are still there. And you got to ask yourself, how much do the Giants get better after this $80 million? The answer shouldn't be, well, the contracts aren't that bad. Typically, that I don't want to hear that. I'm talking about how much do they get better.
That's a step up for Dave Gettleman. Well, the contracts aren't bad.
You know, and you're going into year two, your rookie quarterback. You're going into year three of Saquon Barkley. You know, next year, if you're not contending, then everything goes on 2021. Well, what happens if you're not? You know, you got to start. The pieces need to start coming together. And so far, there's still a lot of question marks with this team. And in this draft, you can only do so much, especially given the fact that, like I said, only two picks in the top 75. So I don't know. We turn to the draft now, but right now, looking at this Giants roster, it's still, you know, not a nearly as good as it needs to be to contend.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with it all.
So let's look at each one of these free agent signings, right? And we'll start at the top. Yeah, we'll start at the top. Leonard Williams franchise tag. I'm surprised it wasn't a transition tag. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, to me, it's just you're doubling down on a mistake.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're doubling down on a mistake. They gave up draft assets for this guy. And again, it goes back to Dave Gettleman's just fundamental lack of understanding what today's NFL is about. You have to be able to rush the passer. I don't want to hear about, you know, Leonard Williams clogging up the middle and Leonard Williams, you know, he'll free up someone on the edge. Like, no, we saw the effect that he had last year. He is a good run stuffer. That's it. We have a million of those. We need edge rushers. They doubled down on a bad mistake. Now he's taken up $16 million in cap, and there's no end in sight for this contract battle. Should have never happened. Because they even traded for him, I'm giving this an F. It's beyond comprehension.
I was talking to someone that covers another team, and I was asking about the Leonard Williams situation, what his thoughts are, and he basically said people around the league they're not laughing. They're just saying, how can a team put themselves in this situation? What he told me is the crazy thing is, if they would have not traded for him and let him hit the free agent market,
right,
they probably would have got him for 10, 11, 12 million per year.
Right.
Which now they're not going to get that because they franchised him, and you saw other guys get paid. DJ Reader getting 13 million, 14 million a year. Leonard Williams is going to get around that 14, 15 million a year. But he said, hey, if you didn't trade for him and you let him hit the free agent market, best believe 12 million probably could have got it done.
Yep.
So not only did you give up draft picks for him, but you also then raised his price tag because you franchised him, put him in that. Because see, when you franchise a player, that player is looking at what those top tier level players are making at his position. So he's paying attention to Chris Jones, and he saw what guys like DJ Reader got. And so he's going to be asking for $15 million, to me, is the floor of what this is going to look like.
I agree.
I think if he were to sign for $13, $12 million, that already would have been done. I'm pretty sure the Giants have already made offers to him the ballpark of 11, 12, yeah. 13, what I hear already by all these fans saying that, oh, he's going to sign for this amount. I don't think so. And he might just play on that $16.1 million franchise tag and try to hit the market next year. So just a disaster of a situation that they put themselves in.
And the whole league's laughing.
Everybody I talked to about this, I was just like scratching their head at how do you put yourselves in that position? And it is a complete and utter disaster. And like you said, there it really is no end in sight. I know they have some time now to work out a long-term deal, and maybe they can get...
But you haven't heard anything. There's been not even a rumor.
Nothing. So we'll see. I mean, they have 2 months. They have until July, 15th, 16th, to get a deal done. We'll see. But man, oh man, it is... However way this ends up, it is a disaster for the Giants.
Agree.
And they have no one else to blame but themselves.
Yep. Next one.
James Bradberry. 3 years, $45 million. I like this move. I think he's a good physical corner. You know, obviously Byron Jones was my guy, but they would have to spend a lot more. That was going to be around $17, $18 million per year. I believe he got 17 a year from Miami, but obviously the state tax, they would have to pay to $18 million. But I like this move, James Bradberry. Good, solid corner, physical corner. Played in a division where he went against some top receivers. Is coming to the NFCs. He's good CB1, solid move. I have no problems with this.
Yeah, me neither.
I give it a B for Bradberry.
Yeah, I'll give it a B as well. I don't hate it. The money is not too bad. Only a 3-year deal. He's still a young guy. What is he, 26, I think? So, you know, listen, he's going to be looking to maybe get out of this contract in a year or two and go for some big money. I don't hate it. Given what the Giants have in Baker, Sam Beal, you really have a bunch of unknowns, especially with Baker's struggles, Beal's injury history. You need someone that you can rely on each and every week. Fine. I have no issues with it.
Yeah, and they needed a veteran
corner.
They really needed him. And I know people said, why are we signing a corner when we just drafted? Well, the thing is these draft picks that you draft late, you need them time to develop.
Yeah.
And people expect the Sam Beal to walk on the field and be an instant starter. That's not the case. And you saw that with Baker, a first-round pick who at times didn't even look like he should be on the field. So the next one is Blake Martinez, 3 years, $30 million. I am not a Blake Martinez fan.
I hate this one given what Corey Littleton made.
Yeah. And
the value of this contract sucks.
Yeah, I don't like this contract at all. I mean, the thing about these contracts is it's short. It's not 5 years.
Right,
it's 3 years.
Which is fine. It's not like you're not being handicapped long term.
Right. And it's essentially really a 2-year deal when the third year is a team option.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just, I get it playing under Patrick Graham, but in today's NFL, your linebacker's got to be able to cover, and the Giants right now don't have a linebacker that can cover.
It's going
to
be the same old story over the middle, over and over. Some athletic tight end is just going to take advantage of them week in, week out. Not only that, he overcommits on the run a lot from the tape that I've seen. It's just, I don't know. I get it. He's also young. He's 26. Again, it's like a 2-year contract, but the Giants linebacking core did not get better with this signing. You know, people will point to his tackle numbers. A lot of those tackles are coming, you know, 7, 10, 15 yeah. yards down the field where he's making the chase. And I don't want to say he's padding his stats because it's not like he's, you know, he's doing this on purpose. But, you know, the number is certainly misleading. And, you know, this linebacking core is going to get exposed in the passing game because say what you will about him and even Ryan Connolly, again, played really well, still a 5th-round pick. Coming back from a torn ACL, there's going to be that adjustment period, and he was never known as a coverage guy to begin with. So I'm nervous the middle of that defense is going to be, you know, I don't want to say a disaster, but it could get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with, you know, I do think Martinez is better than Ogletree, but I think the problem is that you have, right now you have David Mayo, you have Ryan Connolly, and you have Blake Martinez. Like, they're practically the same type of players.
Right.
Struggle against the pass, good against the run, good blitzers as well. So it's like you basically have three linebackers that are good at the same thing and bad at the same thing. And in today's NFL, where you throw the football, you got to have linebackers that are able to cover. And if there are liabilities in the passing game, which these linebackers are, you know, it still leaves a huge question mark at that position. So yeah, I give that grade I'm going to give it a C minus, really. It's not good, but because you can get out of it in 2 years, it's not a D.
Yeah.
A disaster. So I'll give it a C minus. Next one, and you're going to help me with this name, is Levine Tolioi.
Tolioi? Guess is as good as mine. I would go Levine Tololo.
Tololo.
Yeah,
6'8" corner. Seems like he was taken off the basketball court.
Yeah,
he's a pretty large man. Good blocker. 2 years, $6.2 million. Spent time in Atlanta. Most recently with San Francisco. I think this move is more about him getting an increased role with the Giants, and that's why the money's a little high. People say, "How can you pay that much for a blocking tight end?" Well, it's really, if you look into the contract, it's a 1 year. $3.5 million deal. That's only guaranteed money there. And obviously the second year becomes a team option. Good blocker, especially in the passing game. I think he will help a lot. And we'll see if he can get a role with actually catching the ball too. Because I do think it seems like the Giants want to integrate him as well. And knowing the injuries the Giants have suffered at the tight end spot, they're probably going to have to rely on him at some point in the season to actually do more than just blocking. So I'll give this about a B.
I would give it a B too. Again, it's nothing that I'll get excited about. He's fucking huge, 6'8", 270. What's that?
He's a huge man.
Yeah, so basically glorified extra tackle on some plays. So yeah, let's just hope he gets a little more involved in the passing game, because with that size, you know, he's got the height advantage on pretty much everyone that's on that defense.
Fun fact, I'm also 10 days older than Levine.
Wow. Totally.
Yeah, he's born July 30th. I'm born July 20th, 91.
There you go.
I'm not 6'8".
You are tall, though.
Yeah, I am. I am. I take pride in that, yes. By the way. Next one, the outside linebacker from the Green Bay Packers, Kyler Fackrell.
Yep.
Another Stanford guy, I believe.
Yes.
He's
a Stanford guy, yes.
Right, so yep. The Giants.
Stanford East, between him
So Kyle Fackrell is actually Utah State. Blake Martinez.
Sorry, and Cam Fleming.
Yes, our Stanford guys. So Kyle Fackrell, obviously, the big thing everyone jumped on immediately when they heard of the sign was the fact that he had 10.5 sacks under Patrick Graham in 2018. They didn't look at his pass rush rate, which is something I sort of look at as well, not just sack numbers. And while, yes, the 10.5 sacks is impressive, if you dive deep into the stats, you'll realize that his pass rush rate wasn't really as high as you want it to be. With that said, again, it's a one-year deal, similar to the Marcus Golden situation, $4.6 million. Seeing what all these other pass rushers got, like Dante Fowler, Leonard Floyd in particular, I don't mind this deal. I think it's a good one-year deal. You hope Patrick Graham is able to sort of get the best out of him, which was his best career year was 2018. So I'll give this a B as well. Just one-year deal, prove it. Good player.
Yeah.
You add him into the pot. Hopefully something comes out.
I'll go even higher. I'll give it a B+. It's, you know, there's no risk. There's absolutely no risk here.
Yeah. And I actually agree with you. I'll give it a B+ too, because you're looking at what these other guys got.
Right.
You know, particularly Leonard Floyd. So
that's the big one.
So the next one was they re-signed. So we'll do this in order. Cody Core, 2 years, $4.7 million, really quick. I mean, good special teams player.
Cool.
He retained the special teams coach. No problem retaining, you know, one of their best gunners, if not their best gunner. No problem with it whatsoever.
Not going to find me caring about this.
Sticking to special teams was the Nate Ebner signing. Yep. Again, Patriot guy, Joe Judge, your special teams coach.
Yep. No complaints.
Cam Fleming, last night, 1 year, $4 million.
This might be my favorite signing, honestly.
Really?
Yes.
I think Fleming, good tackle. Obviously a stat gap guy at the right tackle spot. My hope is that the Giants also add two tackles in the draft.
Agree.
Sort of start to build some young depth there that you can develop, because right now we've spoken earlier, they don't have anybody there that they can develop outside of Nick Gates. So you got Nick Gates. You got Cam Fleming, and then you also have Nate Soldier, and then hopefully you draft the tackle, whether it's at 4, trade back, whatever. And then you have a solid depth at that tackle spot, which is much needed. So in particular to this, I like it. One-year deal, again, prove it. Cam Fleming was a good player. They had interest in him in 2018 before he went to Dallas.
Yep.
Again, I like the signing. No complaints. Good one-year deal. How about you?
I think the value, yeah, it's my. I'll give it an A-. I love it. You know, this is one of the situations where I'll actually praise the familiarity. Obviously, with Jason Garrett coming over to be offensive coordinator, Cam Fleming, he knows his strengths, he knows his weaknesses. Big dude, 6'5", 320, and who knows? He could end up being more than just a placeholder for the Giants' future right tackle if he plays well this year. And he proves he's got some stuff. Listen, only 27. You could be inking this guy for, you know, a 3-4 year contract and drafting Nate Solder's future replacement this year. I'll hold out hope for this one. This is one of the few that I'll be optimistic about. I really like it. And, you know, obviously last, I don't know, call it five or six years or so, the Cowboys have had one of the best offensive lines in the league. So let's hope he learns some stuff down there and he's going to bring it over.
Yeah, and they brought over Mark Colombo with Jason Garrett.
Exactly.
So we'll see. So I think we got all of them. Elijah Penny re-signed.
Yeah. Again, Rojas.
No problem with that.
Yeah.
David Mayo, that contract. Again, with the linebacker position, you just have a bunch of guys that do the same thing.
Clones.
So we'll see. I mean, obviously, Mayo is also a good special teams player as well, so I think he brings value there as well. Overall, I mean, I think the Giants, the spending of the money and the way they front-loaded these contracts, I have no problem with.
Right. It's just that they didn't get better.
Yeah, not just not getting better. It's just the more important positions, they are not nearly as aggressive as they should be or have been to try to fill those needs. And I don't want – like, here's the thing. Like, just because John Mara has given Dave Gettleman a reset button, or we think he's given him a reset button –
either that or a hot seat, we really don't know.
Yeah, we really don't know. We really don't know. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to give it to him. You've been here for 3 years. The offensive line and pass rush is still a concern. It's still a major need. It hasn't been addressed properly yet. And it's not of the lack of resources. You've had plenty of resources. Remember, Odell Beckham traded. You got additional picks there, right? He's off the books. You got additional cap space, right? Landon Collins, you didn't pay him. You got a comp pick. We'll see what happens with that. You decided not to trade him. You traded guys like JPP, Olivier Vernon, Damon Snacks Harrison. You traded all these guys, but again, you've gotten additional resources back to sort of fill the most important positions on the offensive line and on edge rushers, but there still hasn't been nearly enough allocated to that. That's where my concern lies.
Yep.
Contracts-wise, these signings are – I have no problem really with any of them. But I just wish they would be more aggressive in fixing the pass rush and fixing the offensive line. Cam Fleming, good start. Obviously, Nick Gates, a young player with potential. Nate Solder, you're just counting the days that he's off the books. I believe there's going to be a tackle taken in the first round. Mm-hmm. I think that's where this is headed.
I agree.
So that addresses the offense. That addresses the tackle position. We hope. Now you turn your attention to the defense. So overall, the free agent class. I mean, it's a plethora of young players. You're hoping that they can outperform their contract.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So do we jump to the NFL draft?
We can. I think for me, there's not too much to talk about. You know, I think we now know which teams are going to be targeting quarterbacks. We didn't touch on the rest of free agency, where I think this is a very unique situation where there's actually a surplus of potential starting quarterbacks that won't have homes this offseason, which is bizarre to me. I think Cam Newton should absolutely be starting for a team in 2020. I know that take may be controversial to some, but I do believe he should be starting for a team.
New England makes a ton of sense for Cam Newton.
I think that would be a perfect fit.
I think that's where he's going. I think
it's released. But it wouldn't shock me if it wound up being Andy Dalton up there.
I don't know. I don't doubt Belichick. I just think Cam destined for New England, and if it doesn't work there for Cam, I think you sort of will see the end of Cam Newton. But I think New England is where he probably wants to go.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah, and I think that's who they're waiting for. Yeah. They're waiting for him to be released.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. The big thing is going to be, you know, the Giants picking up for right behind them. You have two teams that are going to be quarterback starved.
Right. All eyes on the Lions.
Yeah. So let's say one, obviously Joe Burrow. But I think really at two, the Redskins are, to me, is people think it's Chase Young and Chase Young. And that might be true. But I think quarterback is in play there, and I think trading back is in play there.
I agree, sadly. I really do.
If a team like Miami or LA, if they're trying to get the same quarterback, I think that they are going to not mess around and they're going to get up to two and grab him and not worry about three, four, and five. I think that they're going to call Washington and say, hey, what do you want for two?
Yeah.
You know, let's make a deal, and Washington will go back to five. Or Washington, who new regime there, they can say, you know what, we like Tua enough, we like Justin Herbert enough, we're just going to take him at two and call it a day. And I think those two options are in serious play right now for the Redskins. And then if they decide to stay, obviously it's going to be for Chase Young, so we'll see. But you really can't rule those other two things out. Detroit, I've already penciled in Jeff
Okuda,
yeah, the Ohio State cornerback. After the Darius Slay trade, I think that if Chase Young is not there, that's their guy, the corner at Ohio State. And then at four with the Giants, you're going to have, you know, Miami, LA, if they're not already moved up, to talk to and potentially get into a bargain, sort of getting into like a bidding war between the two.
Right, but that's, of course, sort of assuming the Redskins go quarterback.
Right. Well, even if the Redskins don't go quarterback, let's say they go Chase Young, and let's say Detroit takes, you know, the cornerback out of Ohio State.
But that's the thing. Let's say, I think that if the Redskins take Chase Young, then, I mean, listen, if I'm the Lions, I'm seeing dollar signs, and those dollar signs are trade back. I just – the leverage there is so unbelievable. And get listen, and if they don't and they go Okuda, God bless them, I still don't even trust Dave Gettleman to trade back.
Yeah, well here's – that's where I was going is – people that are saying Isaiah Simmons.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
You really miss basketball.
Trade back. Yeah, I do really miss basketball. They got to realize something. Number one, the Giants have not taken a linebacker in the first round since 1983. A guy named Carl Banks. You're friends with him on Twitter, aren't you?
Best friends. And then, so are you.
Yeah. And secondly, Dave Gettleman has never traded back in his – he has had what about said two drafts here. I think he had about seven drafts in Carolina. So don't bet your money. Now, I'm of the mindset is I'll believe he's trading back when I see it. Yep. I believe he's taking Isaiah Simmons when I see it. But until then, I'm just not buying it. I think they're the offensive line, they're gonna take a left tackle at four, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine taking a left tackle there. There's a lot of good options. With that number four spot, I really do like the Iowa offensive tackle, Tristan Wirfs, I think his name is, if I said it correctly.
Out of Iowa.
I like him a lot at four. But, again, if you can get a trade back, you know, and you can move back in that draft where you can get to five or six, you can still have your pick of, you know, any offensive lineman you want with the surplus of quarterbacks going ahead of you.
Exactly. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Another team is, I think, the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think you can rule. Yeah, I don't think John Gruden is a wild card, man. If he likes a quarterback, he'll go and get him. You can't rule out 12. Carolina, I know they just paid Teddy, but again, they're a team that could go in and take a quarterback as well. And then, really, a team that I think could also be in the market for a quarterback is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know they just traded Nick Foles, and everyone thinks they're giving the keys to Gardner Minshew.
I mean, maybe later on. I don't know about that.
You don't think Jacksonville could say, hey.
I think there's a lot of teams this year that are going with big question marks at quarterback, where if they pan out, they're already on good contracts, or they can give them an extension and sort of make them the guy, like we saw with Tannehill this past season. And if they don't, and that quarterback flops, a la Minshew, they just tank and trade up and try to land Trevor Lawrence.
But there's only one Trevor Lawrence. And this kind of, there's like, seems to be like three, four teams that are taking that approach.
Of course, but listen, we say this every year. You know, there's always one guy. But then there winds up being three or four quarterbacks that everyone goes goo-goo-gaga over. And, you know, teams will pick them. I don't see the Jaguars as a big threat. You know, I'll agree with you a little bit on Las Vegas, but, you know, who knows? And listen, the Patriots, another team, who knows? You know, late first, yeah. Maybe. I don't know what the draft stock on Jordan Love is, but, you know, you never know. Crazy shit happens.
New England is picking 23rd, and they also have two second-round picks, too, I believe. I know they traded one of their second-round picks, but they do have – some ammo to move up. I don't know if they can get all the way into the top 10, but
yeah,
we'll see. It's still early in the process. How many franchise quarterbacks do you think are in this draft? Where you think these guys are franchise quarterbacks?
I mean, define franchise. I mean, Andy Dalton was a franchise quarterback at one point.
A franchise quarterback to me is a guy that makes everyone around him better. You know he can lead your team to a Super Bowl. Super Bowl, not playoffs, Super Bowl. And third is a guy that you're willing to give sort of the kitchen sink to, meaning he is your franchise. He is the face of your team. You don't worry about any off the field stuff. So there's two.
I think two.
Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Is one. So he's gonna turn around the Cincinnati Bengals, you think.
Yep.
And second is Tua Tagovailoa?
You got it.
No Justin Herbert.
I'm not a Herbert guy.
He really disappointed last
year. Of course
year.
He did. You know, I never understood the hype.
And I don't know why he didn't come out.
I agree. That was a huge mistake.
If he would have came out, he would be a New York Giant right now.
Probably. They would have.
Yeah. I'm 100% certain.
Yeah. Someone might have jumped the Giants at six, honestly.
Yeah. What about Jordan Love? You buying the hype?
I don't know. To be honest, I haven't done too much research on him. I feel like every time I bet on him when he in college, I wound up losing. So I really got to go back and look at some more of the film. Maybe watch some All 22. You know?
Yeah. Jake Fromm?
No, not a believer. He used to be a believer, not a believer.
At one point, people were saying he's the he was getting the hype that Trevor Lawrence is getting now.
Exactly. Yeah,
I feel like he's been.
I was on that train,
by the way. I feel like he's been in college forever.
Fromm?
Yeah.
Because he was a true freshman starter.
Yeah, he's been around forever. Yeah. I'm sort of leaning toward two right now. But I think if Justin Herbert can go to the right team.
For sure.
I think he can potentially be a franchise quarterback as well. But I'm leaning toward two right now as well.
Yeah. You want to do some questions before we wrap it up? I think we're – how long has this been so far? Oh, wow, an hour. Okay, yeah, let's wrap this up. Let's see. We got any good questions? Is Dave Gettleman the worst GM in NFL history?
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien. Easy. Here's a good one. What record does this team need for Dave Gettleman to be fired?
Well, Peter King sort of hinted at 6-10. And I don't think he just pulled that number out of his ass.
Right.
I think there is some chatter there. People won't believe it, but I think when Peter King doesn't just say stuff without hinting something to us. So I will say if they don't finish at least 7-9 next year, I know people say why 7-9? I'm just a number. If they finish anything below 6-10, then I think Dave Gettleman might be forced into retirement.
Yes. Four or five wins locks it in.
Absolutely.
From Travis, if you had to choose between offensive tackle and Simmons at four, they had me in the first half, not going to lie, Jeff. If you had to choose between offensive tackle and Simmons at number four, how are we going to react when DG picks Derek Brown? I'm going to ignore the second half of that question. If you had to choose between offensive tackle and Simmons at four, what are you picking?
Offensive tackle.
I begrudgingly agree with you.
You have to. They're too good of tackles in this draft. And the thing is, and here's another thing about the offensive line. This is what pisses me off.
This is why
people say it's you got to give Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman took a running back with the number two overall pick, right?
Yeah.
Right. And we can debate whether or not that was the right decision or not. And I'm not here to discuss that. But I'm saying you took a running back there, right, at number two. You invested that high pick in him. What does that mean? That means that he is going to be
live on the show. Giants have agreed to terms with quarterback Colt McCoy.
Okay, so they have their backup quarterback.
See ya, Tanny.
Yeah. There you go. All
right.
Coy. All right. So you take a running back at two. He's going to be the catalyst of your offense. Well, what does a running back need? He needs an offensive line. So you should be even more invested in your offensive line, spending as much draft capital as you can to sort of shore up that offensive line. So every year you have Saquon Barkley, you're maximizing his value. So it's time for them to build a good offensive line.
Agreed.
Isaiah Simmons sounds great, and that's awesome, but I'm sorry. Take your offensive tackle at four. If you can move back, you can move back. That's awesome. Accumulate more picks. But they need to draft an offensive lineman high and draft another one at some point in this draft as well.
And you are literally pounding the table for an offensive lineman.
Because that's like, how much longer are we going to have to go through this? No, I'm serious.
I'm just laughing that you keep literally pounding the table.
Man, it's frustrating because like every year we know what the problem is. We need an offensive line. And every time someone gets paid, whether it's a Jane Conklin or a Rick Wagner a couple years ago, or you know, Conor McGovern or anybody that gets paid. It's like, we couldn't pay that much for that. Well, okay, what's the alternative? Like, what's the other option?
Yeah.
You're not going to overpay. You're not going to draft. So what is it? You got to invest in your offensive line. High picks, a lot of money. You dump it into your offensive line. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But they just seem to not want to do that. They just seem to want to use capital and trade for defensive tackles. It's just, I don't get it.
Sad.
So, yeah, offensive tackle, man. It's time.
All right. I think that we got, like, a lot of joke questions. So you guys got to ask more serious ones next time.
Yeah, a lot of people are not happy, but they have to understand that the sooner you just accept the fact that any situation regarding the Giants you go into, you expect to be disappointed, then everything will be fine. Like, I went into free full knowing that I was not going to get what I hoped, which was offensive line, edge rusher. I was fully expecting not to get that. So I was like, okay, I expect to be let down. And when they didn't sign one until Cam Fleming and Kyle Fackrell, I was okay. I was not mad. Yeah. The sooner people accept that, the better they'll be. The sooner they accept the history of the Giants when it comes to drafting a linebacker, the better they'll be when they don't draft Isaiah Simmons. The sooner they accept the fact that they don't trade back and that Dave Gettleman's never traded back and they probably won't this year, the better they'll be when he doesn't do it. So again.
Good advice.
Always expect to be disappointed, because when you actually do get disappointed, it'll be a smooth transition.
It'll hurt less.
Yes, very easily.
All right, let's wrap it up. That's it for us. Over an hour. Welcome back. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. That's it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.
Stay safe. Practice social distancing.
Yes, sir.